Hi, I'm Kenny Mayne, and I'm here to talk to you about my new internet show, Main Street. You know, a wise man once said, you'd have to be an idiot not to watch Kenny Mayne and his new online show, Main Street. He then went on to say a few other wise things before coming back to the subject and angrily saying, let me stress again, you would have to be a real moron not to watch Kenny's show. Not my words, people. The wise man said all that.
Kenny Mayne stars as Kenny Mayne in his new internet show, Main Street, now playing on ESPN.com.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Back in the BS Report, we have been away for a couple weeks. You probably noticed. Now we're back. Cousin Sal and I were doing the lines. He was in his car driving home from work. We unfortunately could not do them on the podcast, but I went 3-0. I basically thrashed him. I killed him. And you missed it because we were not recording at the time, but this week we will be recording. As always, we pick the lines. He picks them first. Then I pick them. We try to see who does better. Sal, unfortunately, you took a beating in those three dark weeks.
Well, let me just say, yeah, you beat me all 3 weeks, and I wasn't going to bring this up, but I mean, you were down in the dumps, the podcast, it was trouble, and we weren't on it, and you're like, hey, ESPN, they don't like me. I was like, you know what, let me throw this guy a bone. I'll let him win. I'll tell him he won the last 3 weeks.
Oh, that's what it, so you were responsible for me just nailing line after line?
Yeah, I'm looking out for you, buddy. I made the line, whatever you said it was, and so
we did two of them as you were driving home from work.
Yeah, that's right.
On a highway, and somehow looking at the lines each time and trying to figure out what they were.
I can't figure out a more appropriate way for me to get a ticket. I was half hoping that I got pulled over.
Well, I was thinking say you just veered off and you crashed a telephone pole and that was it.
Yeah.
I think I would have given the, you know what, he would have wanted to go out that way. That would have been my speech at the funeral.
You heard Sal got in a bad car accident. How did it happen? Oh, he was doing lines. Really? I don't remember him being a drug addict. No, football lines.
No, spreads. He was looking at the Carolina Atlanta line, and suddenly he was going off a 100-foot cliff.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the Week 13 lines. By the way, road teams last week, after I wrote my column about the power of the road teams, they won 11 games outright.
Yeah.
You see this continuing? I mean, at some point, the cold weather has to affect something, right?
That's the only thing I could think of, that we're going to see games where the Steelers win 23-6 and the games aren't. I mean, all these games are going over the total, too, for the most part. And
yeah.
I think one Monday night game has stayed under. I think we're going to see some cold weather, like 23-6, 19-3 games coming up.
Well, how many – what did we have? Three or four games go over 75 points this weekend?
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane.
In Week 12? I mean, that's unprecedented.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit the Thanksgiving games first.
All right, Tennessee at Detroit. They let the Lions play on Thanksgiving this year. Mix it up a little.
That is just what the doctor ordered for the Titans. Detroit probably wins the Minnesota game, right? Week 14?
That's
be
really their
win.
Only hope, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess the Packers are now under 500, but Minnesota's, I don't know. I don't know how they win.
Mm.
I don't know how
they
win.
Can't go 0-16.
Schedule.
Can't go 0-16. It's like impossible. I don't care how bad you are. It would be, I think, almost as amazing as 16-0.
But now it's almost getting to be like even odds that they run the table, because they'll be an 8 or 9 point underdog at least the rest of the way, right?
What would you put for odds for 0-16?
I think they have it. I forgot. I think it was like, right now it's probably like 2-1 against them going 0-16.
I'm going to say Tennessee by 13.
All right, you win this one. I said 15, and it's only 11. That's too low, isn't it?
11?
It's 11. That's way too low.
Yeah, but we've found in the past that unless it's a really good all-cylinders running machine like Indianapolis or something. The home teams usually do have an advantage on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know. But this team loses by 2 touchdowns to everyone. I'm thinking, like, bad players on 3 days' rest have to suck worse than good players on 3 days' rest, right?
That's a good point. You know, Mike Lombardi had this stat. The Lions became, like, the sixth team in NFL history to lead a game by 17 points and then lose that same game by at least 17 points.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're making history.
They're good. They're really good. Seattle at Dallas. My Cowboys.
Oh.
Playing the afternoon game.
You're catching this Seahawks team at an optimal time.
Yeah, this is
because
nice.
Hasselbeck came back. At least they had like the, well, if Hasselbeck comes back, and then he came back, and they still stink.
Mm.
And also, it appears you guys are might be running up these games potentially.
Oh,
I noticed that you threw to T.O. with like 4 minutes left of the 17-point lead to try to get him to 200 yards.
Well, listen, if you're for Matt Castle throwing on fourth down up on Monday night up 3 touchdowns, Romo has to get back in sync. You know, it could take years and years and years.
That was very Belichickian. I'm going to say Cowboys by 13.5.
Wow. I don't know what it is with me. I said 9.5, and it's 13, so you get that one too.
That's you have to admit, I 2 weeks ago, I actually did catch fire.
Yeah.
When we were doing these lines. There was smoke coming off my arm hairs and stuff.
I know.
Yeah, I've been on fire. I don't know what to say.
All right. I may have to do this with somebody else. Because
you might have to.
You're too good at this. Arizona at Philly is the Thanksgiving night game.
Nice. That's a nice one. You know what? I've heard a couple people say this week. People are like, oh, and I bet the Philly fans will be in nice form on Thursday night. Like it's the Philly fans' fault that their coach is checked out and their quarterback hasn't cared in like 2 years. Like, what fans wouldn't boo Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb?
No, of course, and especially Philly fans. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. This McNabb thing is great, right?
He's checked out.
He's made, like, Rush Limbaugh forget all about the fact that we have a Democrat in office come January. This is insane to me. We didn't get to talk about on the podcast, like, the tie thing and him not knowing. But
yeah, but, you know, it's not a lot of people know. Oh, wait, everybody knows.
But then, like, last week, like, Ed Reed blitzes up the middle first play, and Ray Lewis comes in on second down, and like, he was mic'd up, McNabb. He's like, whoa, I thought we said one blitz every four downs. Like, he doesn't even know that rule. I'm kidding. No. That's a nerf thing. You know when we used to play one blitz every... All right, go ahead.
I thought that was kind of funny. I liked, out of all the great plays last week, I think my favorite was the Jacksonville center snapping the ball like the quarterback was behind him, but actually
yeah.
Garrard was in shotgun.
Right.
So it was
right,
like almost like a fumble-rooski, but nobody else knew it was a fumble-rooski,
yeah.
And that's how the game started.
Yeah, quarterbacks started to lose their minds, I think, a little bit.
I'm going to say that with this Philly-Arizona game, I'm going to say that for whatever reason, Vegas continues to kind of give the Eagles leeway, and I don't understand it. I feel like this line should be Arizona by 3, but I think the actual line would be Philadelphia by 1.5.
All right, you're closer. I said Philly by 1, and it's Philly by 3.
Yeah, see, that's stupid. Arizona should be favored in this game.
What were the last 3 weeks? Philly was giving the Giants 3.
Right,
they were
ridiculous.
Getting like a point against the Ravens, and now they're expected to win this game by 3?
Yeah, it's right. And all 3 of those teams are good teams. I don't get it. I don't know what else Philly has to do to prove that they stink.
I like Philly though again this week. I'm like a beaten dog. Like
you
his
are.
Owner like kicked him for so many years, and then he walked up to him and like, here comes another kick. Because how do you bet? Like they make it so easy for you to take the Ravens over Philly, to take Atlanta over Carolina. These teams are better, and then it just happens they win. Is that right?
you
get free money like that?
I think the problem is you keep banking on these teams to turn it around that were good last year, and I just don't think it's going to happen. I think San Diego. They are who they are, and so is Philly, and so is Jacksonville. They're just not good.
I read into these lines too much. All right, Sunday afternoon, early afternoon, Indy at Cleveland.
Uh-oh. Could be a tough week for Cromio.
Yeah.
This could be it for him. Don't you think he gets canned maybe if Indy wins 30-10 or they let him finish the season?
I think Romeo at home makes slightly less horrible decisions than on the road. So look out, Indy.
Does he make decisions or does he just stand there?
I don't know what he does. I don't know. Yeah, the Colts. Well, what do you think the line?
Well, this Colts season's been legendary.
Yeah.
They really could be like 2-10 or 2-9, whatever, however many games they've played. Instead, they're, you know. Mm. Would you be totally shocked if they rallied back and somehow won the division?
Let me tell you something. They're 7-4.
Yeah.
They have Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Detroit the next three. I'm not sure.
So they're going to be 10-4.
They're going to be 10-4.
The Titans have a couple tough ones left, and then they play them again, don't they?
They have a couple, and that's the last game of the season. They play each other. They could end up a tie with the, you know, with four losses.
Yeah.
It'd be tough to do. But let me say this. They're 12-1 to win the Super Bowl right now. And after they're 10-4, they're probably going to be like 4 or 5-1, don't you think?
Yeah, I would say that's the best bet right now. Yeah. The Colts, they just know what to do in these games.
Yeah.
So who are they playing in this one?
At Cleveland.
All right, Cleveland. I'm going to say Indy by 5.5.
I actually get this because I said 5, and it's 4.5.
Oh, I knew it would be in the Vegas zone.
It's too low. That's a teaser game, right? That's a good two-team teaser game?
Probably. I mean, Cleveland scored 6 points against the Texans.
They're not going to lose these stupid teams anymore. All right, Miami at St. Louis doesn't have a line now, I guess, because of Bulger, but...
Is Bulger, is it bad or good that he's not playing?
If he's out, they're going to make it in St. Louis's favor.
Well, St. Louis has been just a train wreck. I'm going to say Miami by... Well, they're going to have to bump this up to get anyone to take St. Louis. Miami by 8?
That's exactly what I said, so it wouldn't have mattered. But,
right.
That's... I just can't believe they beat the Cowboys. They played exactly 2 weeks this year against the Cowboys and Redskins, and then they just left for dead.
I think Brad Johnson beat the Cowboys in that game.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Let's see. Giants at Washington.
I'm done going against the Giants.
Well, they're
just a juggernaut. I really thought the 3.5, I love the half point last week. I figured even if they won by 10, Arizona would get the cheap touchdown. Mm-hmm. And that's almost how it played out. But I just think you ride them at this point.
What do you think?
Who's the
I can't say anything because it'll affect how I speak of it.
Who's the home team?
Washington.
I think Washington sucks. Giants by 3.5.
Oh, wait a minute. What are you... Yes, you got it exactly right. 3.5, but shouldn't it be way higher based on what you just said? Oh, they just beaten. You just made fun of a team that was getting 3.5 and lost by a ton to net.
I for whatever reason, they're not getting the respect.
This line is too low. Like, they need to be start being treated like the Pats? I think a little of last year. They control the line of scrimmage too much. Special teams are on fire. It should be like 7 points. I said 6, but it's 3.5. You got it.
Well, I guess that just because I just don't think Vegas is giving them that extra great team respect, and they're obviously
going on
a great
with
team.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Carolina at Green Bay.
I guess I'm going to lose that Carolina NFC North bet.
I don't know.
That's not looking good. Yeah, but they gave up 51 points.
8-3. This is a big game.
I'm not sold on Carolina at all. I'm going to say Green Bay by 3.
Yeah, you got that. It's 3. I said 3.5. My God, 5-1.
I am like Drew Brees right now. it doesn't matter what defense you throw at me. I'm just going to throw a BB.
All right, Baltimore at Cincinnati.
I might call Foga to chat right now and place my order.
Is that still on?
Can you give me a credit card? Baltimore at Cincinnati?
Yeah.
I like this Baltimore team. You know, I watched that Giants game, and I really felt like they were in that game. It was 20-10. They were driving. Flacco throws that pass to Mason that hits Mason's helmet, goes up in the air. Guy runs for a touchdown. Game's over, 27-10. But they were at least going to get a field goal there. They were coming within a score in Giants Stadium, and it felt like the momentum was shifting, and that it was just because of that one play. It didn't happen, but I still really like
them. That's my point about the Giants. You could play them great, and then you look up at the scoreboard, and you're still down by 8 or 10 or 14. But.
Well, they're like one of those basketball teams that has all great free throw shooters. Like, they get a lead in the fourth quarter, and it's over. They just are going to finish you. I'm going to say Baltimore by, this will be a little high, 9.5.
All right, I get this one. I said 8. It's 6.5.
Really?
Yeah. No, you don't want to play the Bengals on 10 days rest. You just don't want to do it. You're going to see what happens here. Let me ask you this. Out of the young quarterbacks, Flacco, Ryan, Rodgers, and Castle,
Right.
Who makes the playoffs?
That's interesting. I would definitely Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Castle, unless something horrible happens with the Pats. I mean, they.
Well, Flacco and Castle make it, then the Colts don't. Is that what you think?
Well, I still think the Pats can win the division. I'm saying my choices would be Flacco first, Castle second, Ryan third, and then I guess Rodgers fourth because they blew that Saints game.
They're under 500. It is just interesting that these four guys, like everyone, probably two of those guys will make it, but Favre and Warner are locks to make the playoffs for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a new generation of guys, regardless.
And
I've done a 180 on Castle. I mean, I don't know how much the Pats, I don't know how much of it is game planning or the fact that he's got Moss and Walker, but at least with the way he moves around and stuff, it seems like at the very least he should be like a decent quarterback next year for like Minnesota or Detroit or Houston or whoever, right?
Yeah, I was thinking who was the team I was thinking he'd be great on next year?
I think Minnesota would be great.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, we talk about it, I thought it was stupid in the beginning of the year, but if Favre played on the Vikings this year,
right,
they'd probably have like two or three losses, and not even that he's that great, but
yeah, for the Ferrat Tavares combo has probably cost them like four games.
They've heard
just single handedly lost those games for them.
Yeah. All right, San Fran at Buffalo.
I don't know what to make of Buffalo anymore. I thought they were done.
They can't be nearly as good as they played last week. Well, obviously, but
that was ridiculous. I'm going to say this line's a little high. I'm going to say Buffalo by 8.
All right, I get this one too. I said 7. It's 6.5.
Hmm.
I want to see Singletary drop his pants in 25-degree weather there in Buffalo. Then I'll come around on him.
Got to hand it to him for basically turning Vernon Davis into the next Ben Coates.
Yeah, that's right.
Guy, I mean, was that guy in a single fantasy team 4 weeks ago?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. It's going to be good. New Orleans or Tampa Bay?
Oh. Yeah, this has all the makings of the letdown post-51-point Saints game. I like the Bucs at home.
Plus, they're different on the grass and...
These NFC South games seem to never have a line of less than or more than 4. I'm going to say 3.5.
Ugh, sickens me. Yep, you got it right on the nose. 3.5. I said 5.
We should look and see what all the lines were for the NFC South this year. I guarantee it's been between like 4 and 3.
When they all play each other, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Atlanta at San Diego.
Do you want to talk about Norv's timeout?
These guys are so terrible. Can't there be a website they go to quickly figure out what to do? Like you and I or anybody could be on the other end.
So there's a minute and a half left, 4th and 2. They're down 3. Takes a timeout. Could have let the clock run down to about like 58, 57 seconds before calling the timeout, then kicking the field goal. Puts Manning back on the field with 90 seconds left. Manning comes down, wins the game.
Well, not only that, and the Colts would have been forced to use the timeout then, I think. Or one or the other. They either would have used the timeout or, yeah, you're right, it would have been.
We could be here for an hour and not come up with a conceivable reason why he called that timeout. Unless
so
he was
stupid.
Thinking maybe, was he thinking to go for it maybe?
It's dumb. He iced his own kicker, too. It doesn't make any sense. It's no sense at all.
I just don't understand how we can watch these games every week and be smarter than head coaches.
Yeah.
It's the only sport where I really feel like what would possibly make you think you should give Manning more than – and the weird thing was I watched it on TiVo. Madden and Michaels didn't even mention it.
No, of course they didn't. No, it was more
they didn't
important.
Even notice it. They gave Manning 30 seconds. Anyway.
Turkey carving sessions coming up. But, I don't get it. Like, we've said it before. You should log 1,000 hours of Sega football, 94, and Monday through Saturday, I would be a terrible coach. I'm not a motivator or scheming on defenses. But Sunday, game day, football, I think we would do a better job coaching teams.
Well, we were so excited on Sunday watching the Cards game when they successfully executed the down by 11, kicked the 45-yard field goal to set up the onside kick with 45 seconds left. I shouldn't be rejoicing that a coach has figured out that that's the move for that situation.
No, I know.
Anyway, who is San Diego playing?
Well, now San Diego's home for Atlanta.
Oh, I like Atlanta. San Diego's still getting too much credit, so I'm going to say this line is 5.
You're reading it perfectly. It's crazy after a while.
Thank you.
It's 5.5, and I said 3.5.
I love Atlanta.
Well, San Diego has 4 wins, and they're favored by 5.5 points. This is what makes me like San Diego. It's like, oh, Vegas knows something. But I know Atlanta's going to win or cover.
2 questions for you.
Yeah.
Where does Tomlinson go in our draft next year?
Oh, boy.
Is he a first-round pick?
I just still think he's late first round.
Is he in the league 3 years from now?
Here's a better thing. Does Michael Turner go ahead of Tomlinson?
And that's, yes.
The Michael Turner factor could be big in this game.
Yes.
I don't know. Who does it favor?
Oh, yeah. But that's a revenge game for Michael Turner.
Forget
I didn't think
North
of that.
Turner.
Is Tomlinson... Here's the second question. Is Tomlinson still in the league in 3 years?
Well, at playing? I don't know. Yeah, he's got Priest Holmes written all over him right now, right?
He couldn't even bend down.
I think 3 is fair.
He couldn't even bend over for that screen pass, which was like a really huge moment of that game. And
that was huge. It was third and 3.
It's a relatively easy play to make for anybody who's coordinated. I don't know.
Yeah, they're a mess this year. But they're favored by 5.5. And I'm going to say something right now. They're going to win that division still. They're 4-7. They're going to win that division. I'm not kidding. Look, if they beat – all right, they're favored by almost 6 points. If they beat Atlanta, I think the Jets beat Denver. And, you know, then it's just a one-game difference. Right? Am I right about this?
Yeah. Well, regardless –
they play each other at the end.
Out of all the 4 or 5 seed matchups we've ever had, I think this will be the highest line for the 5 seed over the 4 seed on a road game.
If San Diego or Denver has to go.
Yeah, San Diego or Denver against Indianapolis in round 1, I think Indy's favored.
Home, huh? They'll be home, won't they?
I know, I'm saying I think this will be one of those rare cases where the 5 seed is favored by like 4 points. When has that ever happened?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
All right.
That's going to be good. All right, Denver at the Jets.
The Jets fans are now in. There's no going back.
Yeah.
They all believe.
Poor bastards.
This is a perfect matchup for them. This is a perfect matchup for them.
Well, there's a little letdown written on it, especially when everyone's
excited about it.
Goes off after they lost to the Raiders.
But I'm gonna say 8.5.
Yeah. So you are. You're locked in. It's 9. And I said 6.
I'm locked in. I really am.
8-3. 8-3 right now. I can't win. You did it again.
You feel right now like North Turner and Jack Del Rio. Like now you're just thinking 0-9.
You're right. I might just call a timeout and leave. Not even do the next 4 games. Watch Denver play this close, though. I could see it.
Shanahan's pretty good. I'd be surprised if they got blown out 2 weeks in a row.
Here's your game. Pittsburgh at New England.
Yeah, that's a great game. I don't know what to expect either. The line will be lower than 4. It will be Patriots by, I'm going to say 3.
All right, you get it. You get this one, too. I said 3.5. It's 1.
Wow.
I'm
surprised by that.
I don't like that line for you. I think.
Now, that'll bump up. That'll bump up to 3 by game time.
Think so?
Yeah, they can't run the ball, Pittsburgh.
I think this is like a 19-17 game. I don't think there's a lot of points in this game.
Hmm.
I don't know. You get stifled a little here. It could come down to the wire.
I'm surprised by that line.
Yeah. By the way, are you going to show up to Jimmy's? I mean, we have a big – our good friend Dave is a big Pittsburgh fan. I know this is a big game, but it's not a playoff game. We could all be together and watch this, right?
I don't really like Dave.
Well, there's even more reason.
I didn't enjoy his performance last week. They sent in these accusatory emails that because I'm out of our West Coast Fantasy League, I wanted you to win. Why would I want you to win?
Well, let me.
What are we, like brothers or something?
Let me fuel the fire even more. I don't know if you saw this email.
But, yeah.
The Pirates signed 2 Indian pitchers.
Right.
And there's been some back and forth. And where is I can't even find it. And Dave responds, we're all making fun of the Pirates for signing these guys. And Dave says, the Pirates are also looking to sign Tom Brady, whose overrated skills have been exposed by the play of Matt Cassel. Even if Tom's not very good at baseball, he comes from a background of cheating, so he should at least be able to teach spitballs and stuff. You see? This is why you have to show up Sunday.
Yeah, I might have to show up. And then you know what? I might have to wear my Brady jersey.
That'd be great. All right, Casey at Oakland.
Well, has any team had more twists and turns in one season than Oakland?
I can't believe they have two more wins than Kansas City. I'm like, oh, these teams are just the same.
Like,
oh.
Oakland's played like four great games.
Yeah.
Like, remember in week two, they beat somebody by, I think they beat Kansas City. It was like 23-8. They just dominated.
It's deceiving when their defense wants to play. They're as good as anybody.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So this is in KC?
It's in Oakland.
Oh, it's in Oakland. Ooh. I'm going to say Oakland by four.
All right, well, you get this one, too, because I said it was Oakland by one, and it's Oakland by three. And, I mean, this is, you shouldn't even put a line on this game, right? And it's just like expired ground beef at the grocery stores.
These games should not count, like, when I'm making my yearly picks. You should just be able to wipe some of these games off.
Right.
Like, there's just no way to know.
That said, I think you're crazy to give points in this, right?
Yeah, too bad teams always want to take the points.
Yeah. Sunday night, Chicago at Minnesota.
That's a nice one.
Yeah.
I like that one.
If you close your eyes and forget that Kyle Orton and Gus Frerotta are the starting quarterbacks, this could be a fun game. this is big for the division.
So do you think they promote this Peterson Forte or Orton Frerotte? Orton Frerotte! and it's in Minnesota.
In Minnesota, Sunday.
I don't trust Orton. I don't think he looks right with that ankle. I know they put up some points last week, but I'm going to say Minnesota by 4.5.
I get it. I said 3, and it's 3.5.
Hmm.
This could be good. I mean, Minnesota, they have some tough games down the road, I think.
Yeah.
They win this, they're on top of the division.
As long as those guys, the two Williams guys, don't get suspended, that team's in good shape, Minnesota.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Jacksonville at Houston Monday night. This is such a lousy game. 14 losses between these two teams. There's like going to be two fantasy players involved.
Man, that's a tough one.
Can't they flex this out with somebody else?
You know, the line should be Houston by three, but I feel like Vegas is still according Jacksonville this respect that they shouldn't have, so I'm going to say pick them.
Oh, wow. I won the last two. This is the one you were off by the most. It's Houston by 3.5.
Oh, well, I guess that respect is not being accorded anymore.
Yeah, no more respect for Jacksonville.
So what was the final tally?
Oh, no, you know, no one cares. It's just numbers. It's just numbers,
all right.
Really.
It was a lot too little?
10-5, and we the Miami-St. Louis game, we tied, and there's no line anyway.
How are we looking for the season?
I didn't even check, but I think it's probably, there's 13 weeks, I think it's 8-5 you, right?
Yeah. We had a push, though. I think it's 8-4-1.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah, we pushed. Remember when you gave yourself a win?
4 weeks out of 13?
You gave yourself... I was up 5-4-1 when we went... Or it was 4-4-1 when we went dark.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. Either way, it's good to be back.
It's good to be back. It's nice to have you back. It's nice to do this when you're not driving 75 miles an hour in the 101.
Yeah, this is good.
Feel a lot safer for you and for your family, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Let everyone on Facebook know that everything's cool with you and your bosses.
I will. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right. It's been a while. We need his expertise. Let's go to Aaron Schatz, creator of Football Outsiders. You can reach him at footballoutsiders.com, also the author of the Pro Football Prospectus. And somebody that right now is scratching his head at anybody who says that Matt Castle is as good as Tom Brady. Am I assuming that's correct?
Well, I mean, you know, he's had a couple of good games, but, you know, let's not all go crazy.
I love the whole concept that, it's a system. They can plug anybody in. We've had like five systems in 7 years. Anybody who says the Patriot system is the same this year as it was last year is insane.
Well, it's a lot closer this year to what it was last year than years before that, but
right. The
answer is it's part the system and part the quarterback. I mean, if Castle, you know, has 400 yards in every game through the playoffs, then sure, we'll say, okay, he's got the track record that Tom Brady has, but that being said, you know, if you were to take Tom Brady and put him on a team with a different system, he would not have the season that he had last year. We know this because the Patriots were a team with a different system prior to last year, and they didn't have a season like that. So it's partly the system, but it's partly the quarterbacks, and it's partly the wide receivers. And, you know, except for in Oakland, where everybody was so depressed all the time that nobody played well, any team with Randy Moss on it, everybody has always played better than when they, you know, how they played without Randy Moss on their team. And so,
You have to throw in the matchups.
Say, oh, Castle can go to some other team where they don't have Randy Moss and Wes Welker, and he'll be fine.
Well, you have to throw in the matchups, too, because 2 weeks ago he's going against a Jet secondary that's not great. And they fall behind 24-6, so they got to throw every down. So he piles up stats there. And then last week, Miami, for whatever reason, decides to single Randy Moss.
And Miami has a poor secondary.
And by the way,
the Patriots have a poor secondary, too. I mean, that was two quarterbacks having good games against bad secondaries.
Mm. But, I have to say, I feel like poor is a compliment. I actually feel worse about the New England secondary than poor.
Well, listen, 2005 was so much fun when they tried to sign, all the worst veteran cornerbacks in free agency.
Yeah.
That they decided to do it again this year.
Yeah.
And so you had Jason Webster and Lewis Sanders and Delta O'Neal and Fernando Bryan, who couldn't even make the team. And
where were we on D'Angelo Hall is what I want to know.
D'Angelo Hall is an interesting character, of course, because he's sort of simultaneously overrated and underrated.
Mm-hmm.
He's very fast, and so people assumed fast must equal great cornerback, particularly because the cornerbacks he played alongside in Atlanta were so horrible, most of them having been signed by the Patriots this year, like Sanders and Webster.
Right.
Then he goes to Oakland, and now he's playing across from Asamoah, who is the best corner in the game at this point. And so now it's like, oh, D'Angelo Hall is terrible. D'Angelo Hall is the same guy that he was in Atlanta. He's an average cornerback who makes up for the fact that he doesn't have the best instincts with the fact that he has great speed. That's who he is. That's who he's always been. The idea that he was a Pro Bowl cornerback was always ridiculous. But the idea that the Raiders should cut him because he wasn't good enough to start for them is equally as ridiculous.
You missed that. You had a minute-long chance there to do the Denny Green. He was who we thought he was. I was waiting for it. I thought you were setting it up, and then all of a sudden, if you weren't sick, I think you would have nailed that.
My brain's still a little scrambled, I guess.
All right, so your DVOA ratings, which I love and I look at every week to make sure I'm not missing, a team that might be 4-5 or
they're
whatever.
They're about as messed up about this season as everybody else is.
But in some cases, no, because you guys were on Baltimore pretty early. But
yes.
This Philadelphia Eagles team just continues to just wreak havoc with you.
They're killing me. They're totally killing me. Yeah, for the people who don't know our ratings, Philadelphia is fourth this week. They were going to be fifth, but then Green Bay had to go lose badly to New Orleans. So, the problem, I think part of the problem with Philadelphia is that for me to go on and on about how they really haven't played that badly, our memories of the last 2 weeks, we say that seems like a ridiculous statement. But prior to the last 2 weeks, they really haven't played that badly. You have to remember, this is a team that easily handled Pittsburgh, destroyed, St. Louis, which, let's be honest, not everybody's been able to do, just most teams. And it was only in the last couple weeks that they've started to play really, really badly. And, there's no way around it. They've played really, really badly the last 2 weeks. That being said, Baltimore's got one of the top defenses in the league. What do you expect? You're going to play Baltimore. You're not going to have a good offensive day. So, it's probably not a smart thing to throw your unprepared second-year backup quarterback into the game halfway through against one of the top defenses in the league with
Reed
on it and so forth.
You didn't like that move? Just throw Kevin Cobb to the Wolves?
Well, it seemed like weird timing. Then to go back to McNabb is weird timing as well. They either need to decide are they giving up on the season or not. If they're giving up on the season, then, by all means, give Kevin Cobb the time and find out how good he is. But if they're not giving up on the season, they were losing 10-7 at halftime. As bad as McNabb was playing, they were only losing 10-7, and that's Baltimore out there. That's not the easiest defense to get your first extended time against.
Yeah, and I've been writing about this pretty much all season. I think Andy Reid is the most overrated coach that we have right now. I just haven't liked what I've seen from the Eagles, and specifically in close games, short yardage, it's all the little things that it seems like they're just not doing.
Right, and my numbers, the kind of system that I do says the teams that struggle in some of those areas but are really, really good overall will, eventually they'll tend to be winning games.
Mm.
Things will eventually come around. And that's based on the last, 12 years worth of NFL teams. And that's why my numbers have Philadelphia so high. But it ain't happening. They're not coming around. And I do think you have to ask yourself if it's a coaching thing. They've built a team that takes a basic precept of what I believe, at Football Outsiders, which is that you score with the pass, that the pass is more important than the run. But they've taken it to an almost absurd extreme to where when they need to run, they can't. And they keep putting, like, you know, converted defensive players at fullback.
Yeah.
And they need to dial it back a little bit and put some balance in there, and balance their team, balance their offense a little bit. And they do keep struggling in short yardage, and they do keep struggling in close games, and the time management keeps being bad, and all kinds of things that my system, the numbers keep expecting, you know, will get better because in the past with other teams, it's gotten better, and not in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I was going to say, some of the things that are wrong with this team are things that I don't know if a statistical engine can account for, because, like, you can't account for just a terrible challenge.
Yeah.
How does that work into it? You just can't.
Listen, there are some things where Philadelphia has just kind of gotten screwed. For example, until Shane Graham missed the field goal that would have won the game for Cincinnati instead of making it a tie,
yeah,
there had not been a single missed field goal against the Eagles all year long. Hmm. And that's something they can't control. I mean, yes, every so often you'll block a field goal, but for the most part, how the field goal kicker from the other team does against you is entirely up to that field goal kicker and his snapper and his holder, and it has nothing to do with you. So the Eagles can't control for that. And by the way, the team that has had the best luck as far as opposing field goal kickers playing badly is Tennessee, which is one reason why Tennessee is 10-1, even though, according to my numbers, they're not even the best team in their conference. My numbers now have Baltimore number 2 with Tennessee number 3.
Who was the team I thought of you last week? I saw somebody... Their defense, there had been 11 fumbles, and they had recovered all of them.
Oh, I don't know who that is, but those guys are in for a little bit of a shock.
I thought you were like, 11 for 11 on fumbles. I can't remember who it was. Damn, I had it written down. I just can't remember.
But. Well, I was a little shocked last week to find out that Arizona leads the league in takeaways.
Maybe that was the
And
game.
It's legit. They don't have a ridiculous number of fumbles recovered. They've recovered 11 out of 19, which is greater than 50%, but it's not absurd.
So
it's legitimate. They have a lot of interceptions.
And your guys, pretty much about 4 weeks ago, I was thinking all along that Arizona might be a real sleeper before it started happening, and your numbers were kind of confirming that.
We didn't see it before the season started, but ever since the season started, it's been pretty remarkable.
Well, now we have 5 weeks left. So do you see anybody who's in that 5-6, 5-5, whatever, right around 500, do you see anybody kind of making the leap these last 5 weeks?
I still think Green Bay.
Wow.
Despite what happened on Monday night, I still think Green Bay is going to win that division. I mean, the leap, maybe not. They'll be dangerous in the playoffs, though. I still think Green Bay is that good.
So what is it? What's their record right now?
They're 5-6 because of losing to New Orleans.
Okay. So they have five games. So can you win that division going 9-7? I mean, possibly. Could happen, maybe. But I still feel like 10 wins is going to take it.
We'll have to see. I mean, they've got – who do they got left? They've got they get Detroit. That's a nice, easy one.
Yeah.
You know, if they have to beat Chicago on their own, Houston, Jacksonville, Carolina, I mean, I see no reason why they can't win all five of those.
Yeah.
Is the game in Carolina or in Green Bay?
I can't remember.
If it's in Green Bay, I see no reason why they can't win all five of those. I know your belief on home field advantage, but the one division where that doesn't seem to be the case this year is the NFC South, so –
I think this week is I think whatever that Carolina Green Bay, it's at Green Bay.
They can win all five of those. They really are. I mean, you saw a little bit of Monday night, the kind of panic that sets in with a team that's pass based, and then they fall behind, and then you have interceptions and guys slip on the grass, and I mean, that's still a pretty good team.
I like them as well, and I feel like I keep waiting for them to catch fire, and I feel like. They've caught the wrong team on the wrong week an inordinate amount of times. Like the New Orleans last week is a really good example. New Orleans loses that game. They're out of the playoffs at home Monday night. They catch Tennessee right in one of those weeks where Tennessee really is starting to get mad that people aren't taking them seriously. Just seemed like there was one other game like that. Oh, Chicago. They caught on the right. But I just feel like, they're better than that 5-6.
Maybe Minnesota. They caught Chicago the right week.
Minnesota, one of those.
I think I've given up on Philadelphia, but I do think that Green Bay is better than their record and it's going to come on. Philadelphia is about to, I think, go through what has happened to some teams in the past, like the 2003 Bucks, where we have teams that halfway through the season, our numbers say they're much better than they really are, but the team kind of self-destructs because they can't figure out who they should play and their injuries and weird play calling, and they start to kind of play down to their win-loss record.
Mm.
Not every time, you know, that our stats say a team will have a lot of times the stats say this team is better than its record, it's going to be good in the second half, and that happens. But there are times where that doesn't happen, like the 2003 Tampa Bay Bucks, and I think that's about what's going to happen to the Eagles. I mean, their schedule is so hard in the second half, and they're screwing around with the quarterback, and everything seems to be kind of falling apart, and I don't think they're going to play up to their statistical performance. I think they're going to play down to their one-loss record.
Would you put San Diego in that category?
San Diego is really screwy this year. You know, I have them higher than Denver in my ratings. I don't think people quite understand how bad their defense has been this year.
Mm.
There's very little pass rush. There's been a lot more the last week or two. I mean, that's one thing that Matt and Michaels definitely had right on Sunday night. Talk about Ron Rivera has been sending more guys and getting much more of a pass rush with that defense. But their secondary has been nowhere near as good as it was last year. Cromartie and Jammer are not playing as well as they played last year. And so they let, you know, pretty much anybody pass on them all day long. But in that division, it's just so hard to imagine them coming back from being two games down to Denver. I'll bet you that's the game that's going to be moved to Sunday night in the final week. Will be Denver-San Diego because it'll probably be for the division.
Hockey League 2? That's what it's going to be called.
San Diego has really got it bad this year, but you can't look at the whatever five games they've lost in the last 24 seconds and not think, wow, maybe North Turner really is a bad head coach.
Sal and I just talked about that earlier in the podcast about the timeout that he called at a minute and a half.
Yeah.
That basically gave Manning an extra 34
kooky.
Seconds or whatever.
Yeah. Totally kooky. And last year when they went to the AFC Championship, people were saying, ha, this proves that North Turner is not as bad as people have always said he is. My response was, my God, the dude's coached for like 10 years. He's allowed to get it right once. Okay, let's see him get it right two or three times before we say he's not a bad coach.
Well, you guys predicted that in your book, and we talked about that when you were on, I think, before the season, about that the effects of going of a contender going from a really good coach to a not good coach don't really show up until the second season.
Yeah, I mean, there was a thought that maybe it's part of it is coaching is not as important as we think it is, and some of the great coaches, what we think of as their greatness, is actually player personnel. But I think when you look at the kind of weird decisions that the Chargers have made late in games and losing games late close like that, you can't help but say to yourself, North Turner is just not meant to be a head coach. He's meant to be an offensive coordinator.
And I feel like this year has had an inordinate amount of coaching screw-ups last 3 minutes. And
Romeo Crennel has done some really strange stuff, too.
He's had some beauties. I think Singletary's performance in the Arizona Monday night game was one for the ages. We've seen coaches decide more games the wrong way more this year than I can ever remember.
It doesn't seem to me so hard to kind of get the general gist of how time management and challenges are supposed to work.
Philly's the biggest defender.
The Singletary thing is a little bit different animal because the guy was an interim coach who had kind of just taken over. But, you know, if you've been the coach since the preseason, you probably should kind of know what's going on.
Yeah, but you've been in football your whole life. You should kind of figure out what to do in the last minute of a game when you're in the three.
Yeah, but I know. You got one voice in one ear and another voice in another ear with that headset. And, I mean, I can see where it would be a little confusing if it's like your first or second game coaching.
I think, well, see, I've always argued that you guys, you say it's subjective, or you say it's objective. I think it's, I think you could actually do this, where the bad coaching index, where it's stuff like Andy Reid last week. So he's trying to decide whether to call a timeout or not before the end of the first half, and he waits an extra 18 seconds before he, oh yeah, but you know what? I am going to call a timeout.
Like,
stuff like that you should be able to define.
I don't know if we can go back into the old play-by-play to find other places where that happens, but you're absolutely right that that is like the stupidest thing that coaches do, is trying to decide if they should call timeout and actually wasting time trying to decide and then calling the timeout anyway. Once you started wasting the time, don't call the timeout.
There seems like if you could come up with like 12 different, you know, like a challenge that's terrible when it happens and has no chance, like, you know, of having your field goal kicker kick a 52 yarder when he can't kick longer than 44. There seems like definable things that you could maybe come up with. I don't know.
Well, I will tell you that people from my staff who have been longtime Andy Reid supporters have sort of turned on him this year. And everybody seems to feel it's time for a change in Philadelphia.
Poor Andy. So according to your stats and all this, your formula, all that stuff, who do you think has the best chance of representing the AFC and the NFC in the Super Bowl?
Well, the NFC is really clear.
Yeah.
The Giants are the best team in the league this year by far.
By far?
I mean, certainly not to the point where the Patriots were last year, but they're dominating the league much in the same way that the 99 Rams and 98 Broncos did.
So potentially historic.
Yeah, they're really good this year. And in fact, it makes the upset in the Super Bowl look a little different. You can't, you know, nobody can predict the game backwards. You know, we didn't know before the Super Bowl what the 2008 New York Giants would be like. But if you look at this team now and say, pit this team against last year's Patriots, the idea that this team would win the game makes a lot more sense than the 2007 regular season Giants. I mean, they really did flip some sort of switch in the playoffs, and that switch is still flipped, despite not having Strahan and Umanyora at this point. They are the best team in the league by a really big amount over the rest of the league this year.
Yeah, Eli's just gotten more consistent. Running game's much better.
Yes.
I think the players trust the coach. The way he handled the plaques thing was huge. He just did everything the right way.
And if you look at in the past, a lot of those teams that were sort of surprise Super Bowl teams, they went back the other way the next year.
Mm.
The 0-4 Panthers were like 7-9. The Raiders, after they beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl in 80, they weren't that good the next year. It's very rare that a team steps it up in the playoffs like the Giants did last year and then stays that good. I mean, this is a really this is different than past Super Bowl quote-unquote fluke teams, and they really are the best team in the league this year.
Well, I wonder like how much of a chip on the shoulder they have on their shoulder do they have from winning the upset Super Bowl, and then everybody's like, "Oh yeah, well they got lucky, and let's discount them." It seems like
I think they've got a pretty big chip. I think they've got it. But wouldn't it be funny if they end up playing something like a 11-5 Baltimore team in the Super Bowl, and then they have done to them what they did to the Patriots last year?
Yeah. Well, you know who they remind me of is the second. Actually, it would be the third Pat Super Bowl team after they won the second time. And everybody still was like, oh, well, this is going to be Indy's year. And they were able to use all that energy and just get mad about it. And
I wonder if they're a little bit more like the 97 Packers.
The year after they won?
Yeah, the year after they won. And then they're like rocking through the league again. But then they get to the Super Bowl and everyone's like, oh, the Packers are going to repeat. Packers are going to repeat. No problem. They lost.
Well, or you could say they're like the second Broncos team that, you know, they won the first year barely, and then the second year they just destroyed everybody.
And they are destroying everybody. I mean, they are playing really, really well. As far as who's in the AFC, I mean, my ratings say Baltimore and then Tennessee and then Pittsburgh, but it's pretty tightly grouped with those three teams, and I think that Tennessee's got a good shot at it, or Baltimore, Pittsburgh, whoever happens to win that division.
What about Indy?
You know, Indy's kind of coming on. I can see that happening. I can see the Jets doing it. The thing about the Jets is that their defense has been extremely inconsistent this year. So the Jets can do it if the defense manages to put three good games in a row. But it's more likely that the Jets defense will not put three good games in a row, and they won't be able to do it.
And this is something you and I have argued about in the past is that the team that you are in mid-November is not the same team you were in late September. And when you're just looking at a team season just totally,
Well, the Colts are a good example of that.
Yeah.
And we have a rating that takes later in the season more seriously, but it doesn't start to have, like, serious differences until you get into December. Like, that rating has Philadelphia lower, the rating that takes the early season less seriously, because obviously they've had more problems of late. And Indy's definitely coming on, but I still go with either Tennessee or the Baltimore-Pittsburgh division winner as the team that goes to the Super Bowl from the AFC.
Is it worth it maybe to have, like, a November on rating? Or do you guys do that?
I played around with that a little bit, but the early season still does tell you how good a team is. I mean, you know, it's good. The more data you have, the better your rating's going to be. So, you know, there's very rarely a team that really completely switches at midseason and is so much better in the second half of the year. I mean, when you think of a team that kind of switches on, you think of a team like the Giants last year. They weren't even that good until the last week of the regular season. A November on rating for that team would have actually said that they were worse than they were in the first half of the season.
It does seem like every year we'll have at least one team who seems like they might peak too early. And I think it could have been the Titans this year, where I think the team, they kind of crested in mid-October, and I don't know that's when you want to crest. I think you want to crest right now.
Ned Macy actually had a really good idea about the Jets and Titans in his Any Given Sunday column this week, which will be up on ESPN by the time the podcast is, which is that the Jets' defense is very run, stopping the run, heavy towards stopping the run, especially with Chris Jenkins playing so well.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jets can dominate and make it through to the Super Bowl if they play those three teams that I talked about being, in my opinion, the three best teams in the conference, Tennessee, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh, who are all run-first offenses. But if they have to play a pass-first offense like Indy or San Diego or Denver or the Patriots, that's a much bigger problem for them. I mean, they did beat the Patriots, but they needed overtime for it because they're much more about stopping the run than they are about stopping the pass, and I think that's where you get some of the inconsistency in their defense. And the interesting thing about that idea is it brings forward the idea we were talking about way at the beginning of the season when things started to look a little screwy, which is who wins in the playoffs is going to depend on who plays who. There's no best team, particularly in the AFC now. There's no best team. It's going to depend on what the matchups are because some teams are going to just match up better against other teams. You know, you figure Tennessee would just harass the living daylights out of Joe Flacco, but it's going to be a little harder for them to beat Peyton Manning. So I think a lot of it has to do with what the matchups are in the playoffs when it comes to the AFC. In the NFC, the Giants are just better than everyone else this year.
And they're going to be very tough to beat at home.
What
you said about the AFC reminds me of the heavyweight boxing in the 1970s, where you had like six or seven guys, and for whatever reason, three of the guys could beat three of the other guys, but not beat the other three guys, and it just kind of was like
right. Or the NBA playoffs when Golden State beat Dallas.
Right.
And it was all about how you matched up with the team you were playing against, not what your record was during the season. And I think the AFC playoffs are going to be like that because you have a lot of teams, and they're all going to be very different in what their strengths and weaknesses are. Mm. And so, you know, each matchup is going to look kind of different from the other matchups. It'll be really interesting.
I disagree with you slightly because I like this Indy team. I just think they're resilient to me, and I think they can win in any stadium no matter what they play, no matter where they play against any type of team.
Well, it's only the last couple weeks that they've gotten the running game going a little bit again, finally.
Yeah.
And there's definitely, you know, a case that now that things are healthy again and that things are better. But, you know, to win three straight games if Bob Sanders is still injured, that's pretty tough. They are going to have to go into it as a wild card. They're not going to win the division.
Freaking Bob Sanders. Yeah, but in round one.
I cannot stay healthy. He's so talented, but cannot stay healthy.
What would happen if he and Matt Schaub collided? Would they just self-combust? But Indy will be favored in round one.
Yes.
And then in round two.
Because you have to figure that in round one, Indy is going to play the winner of the AFC West. And there's no question that Indy will be favored against either Denver or San Diego on the road.
And then in round two. Probably they play at Tennessee, which I think they can win.
We'll have to see. I mean, who knows? That other wild card team might win that round, too.
Sure.
Because it's all about a matchups thing, whether that second wild card is the Patriots, the Jets, the Steelers, or the
that's
Ravens.
That's a good point.
depending on who wins the divisions. And people should not act like the Jets have the division sewn up or the Steelers have the division sewn up. There's really nothing that says the Ravens or Patriots could win those divisions. Those are the seven teams that make the playoffs in the AFC. There's seven teams, and one of them has to get left out because somebody has to win from the AFC West. It would actually be a lot more fair if nobody went from the AFC West and the Ravens, Colts, and Patriots could all go, but I don't think it's going to work that way.
Well, that was my idea. I think you have to win nine games to make the playoffs.
You are going to end up with an 8-8. I mean, listen, most years it doesn't create a problem like this, but this year has been extraordinary when it comes to certain divisions being extremely strong or extremely weak. I mean, they're honestly, out of the two Western divisions, there is one good team.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Now that they have four teams per division, it's too big of an advantage if you're in a bad division. I mean, it really is. If you're in the NFC West, that is an enormous advantage this season.
You
get six easy games.
Why do you think everybody in the AFC East has a winning record?
I think they should go back to three divisions per conference. I just think the four is swings it too much, you know.
It works really well for scheduling, that's the thing. But if they ever decide to add expansion teams, the whole works well for scheduling thing gets thrown out the window, and then perhaps they'll do what you just said.
Last thing, what did you think of my theory about how home field advantage is?
You know, I went and looked, and just the DVOA ratings, mm-hmm. in general, home field is worth about 17 percentage points, and this year it's no different.
Hmm.
But you're right in that it does seem like – it seems kind of like visitors are doing better. I guess I'd have to see the whole season. One thing is that home field advantage historically gets stronger in the last few weeks of the year.
Right.
Primarily because of the cold weather teams that do have an advantage when they host a dome team or a warm weather team. And that doesn't start to come into play until about now.
Yep.
But I will say the numbers that you showed about the new stadiums were, they were interesting. I'd have to see a couple years of it before I said that it was definitely a real trend, but it was interesting.
I thought that it was going to start last weekend, and instead 11 road teams won outright. So hopefully it'll be this weekend. But it is crazy. The biggest difference just from watching it at home is, you know, you don't have those moments anymore where the guy has to call the timeout because he can't hear his line can't hear the signals. That never seems to happen anymore.
I wonder if that's less because of the new stadiums and more because of the league trying to make sure that just didn't happen.
Well, and the headsets, I think, too.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, it goes beyond the new stadiums. I think there's a whole bunch of reasons why it's happening, but it almost feels like a neutral field. Last night was nice. I think when a team in a good stadium, I'm talking about the Saints game, they get a lead and the crowd gets into it and it's a good stadium like that Superdome, I think it could still have an advantage, but. You know, you watch that Indy San Diego game, and it's the crowd.
There are other
you
reasons.
Know they were there.
There are other reasons for home field advantage, though. For example, the refs call more penalties against road teams than they do home teams.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, because they get affected by.
I think that
psychologically
they get affected by the crowd.
Yeah, I think it's still out of all the sports, it matters the most in basketball, hockey.
Oh, basketball! It's no question. I mean, if you look at basketball records, and it matters the least in baseball.
Yeah. Baseball does not matter.
The only thing that matters in baseball is the fact that you get last ups and the occasional weird stadium quirk like knowing how to play the left field wall of Fenway.
Mm.
The crowd doesn't really get into it in baseball like they do in football and basketball and hockey.
Well, now, ironically, Fenway has become, I think, the toughest place to play if you're a road team because everybody's on top of you. They added all these seats, and there's a real history now. And I never thought that would happen with Fenway. So it was a house
and you do have to know how to play those quirks. I mean, you know, and the same goes, I guess, for that little goofy hill they have in Houston and whatever. But you don't have the same kind of the crowd influences. Not the crowd influences the umpires. The way we know they influence the refs in basketball. And the numbers seem to show that they influence the refs in football, just a little bit at least.
And then also in football, in the old days you had the stadiums nobody wanted to play in because they had a hard turf or whatever. Now everybody has basically the same
turf. Pittsburgh.
Except Pittsburgh. Well, I think you guys should investigate this, and I demand my own chapter in Pro Football Perspective.
We'll work on it. Hey, man, we gave you a chapter for the coaches being 55 thing last year, so we'll have to do home field advantage for this year's book.
You can't tell me one of your eight guys couldn't go to town on this topic. And
I don't know. Email and see what people are up to. A lot of people are going to be stuffed with turkey and sleeping. Or checking out the game with, what do you think the spread? Have they come out with the spread yet on Tennessee-Detroit?
Yeah, it's 13, I think.
How much would that spread be if Tennessee was an offense-first team? 30?
It's true. If it was the Giants,
the only reason why it's 13 is because nobody can think of, Tennessee will just keep passing and passing.
Right.
But what a mismatch.
Yeah. Well, if it was the Giants, I think it would be like a 23-point line.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
about right.
All right, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks, and then during the playoffs, you're on every round like last year.
Good to be back, my friend.
I don't care if you're trapped under something or whatever. We're getting you each round.
Oh, you got it.
And hopefully you won't reenact, or we collectively won't reenact the incredible podcast we had before the Super Bowl.
Well, I have a feeling that our beloved Patriots will not be making it to the Super Bowl this year.
You know, I still get emails about that podcast from Giant fans who are just so delighted that we were so dismissive of the Giants.
One of the first things I said was, you can't be completely dismissive, so what am I going to tell you, man?
All right, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Hope you feel better. All right, take care.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.